There's plenty of concerns about social media and how it affects the lives of teenagers, but especially in lockdown, we need to be very, very cautious about what our kids are up to. To give us a little bit of more information and to exercise some caution on behalf of the kids is my final guest of the morning, and that's Liz Fordham. Good morning, Liz.
Morning, Steve.
Now, we know about all the various platforms available with social media, but I would imagine for adults in this day and age, and I'm looking at myself in particular here, because I'm comfortable with Facebook and Twitter, but, you know, my son, he's in his 20s, he's moved on to Instagram. TikTok is growing. There'll be something else coming down the line. How do we keep on top of all these things?
Yeah, look, it's not easy. And I think one of the first things I want to say is... The cornerstone of well-being, okay, is to connect, right? So particularly during this lockdown, connecting is going to be really, really, really important for our young people. It is anyway. It is to all of us. But it's going to be particularly important for our young people at the moment that they stay connected, because they're not going into schools necessarily. They're not meeting up with their friends in the same way. So that sense of loneliness, which we talked about last time, and isolation, I think is going to be really, really prevalent. So we do need to sort of sit our concerns about social media within that playing field, really, and with that awareness in mind. I think one of the things that I've become aware of, and like you, well, I've got my children are in their late teens. So, yes, keeping up with what goes on within the social media world is tricky. I'm a complete dinosaur, so I find it really difficult. One of the things that I think I was unaware of, and I think it is worth being aware of, is the fact that a lot of these platforms these days don't need a phone number. You don't have to have a phone with a SIM card. You just need an account. So Snapchat, Instagram, you can be on these social media fields without necessarily having a phone number, which opens them up to much younger and younger children. They can just pick up an old device and, you know, create an account and boom, they're in there. So I do think we have to be aware of, you know, as parents, of exactly what our children are accessing and what they're doing and, you know, who they're communicating with. I mean, yes, they can't necessarily surf the internet and be accessing some of the sites that, you know, are less than savoury. But in terms of communicating and reaching out and contacting people that, again, we don't know who they are, right? And they might not know who they are. I do think that's an awareness these days.
I think the situation with a lot of these social media giants, as they call them now, is that they've been made aware of the problems, and not always are they quick to address them and shut things down. You know, and we hear stories of inappropriate videos appearing on Facebook, and people report them, but it takes 2 or 3 days to do it, and that adds to the problem.
Yeah. And honestly, Steve, I would say Facebook is a thing of yesterday. It's very much our generation thing. Our youngsters are not on Facebook. They are using Instagram, Snapchat, stuff that is very difficult to trace, which I think puts an increasing responsibility on us as parents to be more vigilant about what they're doing. And I think, you know, there is absolutely nothing wrong with sitting our youngsters down and putting down very clear boundaries about what is okay, what is not okay, keeping those channels of communication open. We cannot rely on the big media giants to be policing this stuff on behalf of our children. We have to do it. It's not easy. It can result in some very difficult, you know, arguably slightly sort of ugly conversations with our children when they're not going to like it. But I do think we have to take that responsibility to know, to boundary. It's got to be flexible. We've got to negotiate it as our children get older. It's not appropriate to be scrolling, I would say, down, you know, the phone of an older teen. That wouldn't be okay. But certainly for a younger child, and like I say, they are able to access this stuff from much younger and younger ages. I do think it's appropriate that we say, you know, these are the boundaries for me in my house. You're not charging your phone by your bed. You're not having it after such and such time. There is no Wi-Fi access in the bedrooms. Whatever is right for me as an individual, as a parent. But I don't think we can be relying on the media giants to be policing this stuff on behalf of our children. We have to take the responsibility for that. And also, we have to model this stuff as well. You know, we are our children's best teacher. And if we're constantly on the phone, if we're constantly checking our news feeds, kids or our, you know, social media accounts or whatever it is, then you know what, it puts us in a very difficult position to say to our youngsters, get off the phone or, you know, whatever it is. So I think, you know, we have to bear that in mind too. We do have a responsibility to manage social media usage for our children.
Liz, thanks very much for joining us this morning. Good words of caution. While we were speaking there, actually, I did bring up Snapchat because I thought, don't Facebook own that? But they don't. It's a very, very big organisation now. The money they're turning over is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And it's here today, gone tomorrow. You know, the stuff that goes out on Snapchat, it goes. So it's very difficult for us as parents to police. So getting that information into our children about how to use this stuff well is, you know, much, much better than coming down after the event. But like I say, I would couch all of this conversation in that understanding that right now, particularly, communicating, connecting with our friends, with their friends, is absolutely key to our young people's well-being.